The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Thursday, April 18th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And my goodness, did we do that yesterday? Oh my goodness. If you were not here with us yesterday, you missed a doozy. You missed an award-winning show yesterday. Let me just put it that way. Between Uncle T-Bone, me, and you, we were on one yesterday. And it was in a great way. It was a lot of fun. Lots of interesting conversations yesterday that you're not going to hear anywhere else. And that's what makes this show special, and that's what makes it so much fun. So if you didn't hear any of that from yesterday, not right now, but later on tonight when you're sitting around and looking for something to do, go back and listen to yesterday's show, man. It was a lot of fun. My name is Jacob Goetz. I'm with you here for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Busy show today, as always. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. Tons of things to talk about with Chris. Coming up in hour number two around the Southeastern Conference in terms of baseball, basketball, transfer portal, football, all sorts of things going on right now around the Southeastern Conference. So that's coming up in hour number two with Chris Gordy. Really excited for that. We've got a ton of Auburn news, maybe the biggest news we've had in a while when it comes to Auburn, that we're going to lead off the show with. So outside of our two guests, phone lines are open. I want to hear from you, your thoughts, your opinions, your questions and comments. 334-321-1390. That number again is 334-321-1390. That phone line did not stop yesterday, and I hope that we can do the same thing today. I want to hear reactions to the news that popped about, about 5 o'clock or so yesterday afternoon when Jani Broome finally announces that he's coming back to Auburn for one more year. Bruce Pearl and the Tigers will have one of their best players, if not the best player, on that Auburn basketball team. He will be returning for another season here on the Plains. And look, I don't have to tell you how important he is to this roster. I mean, he's one of the best players in the SEC, and he's one of the best players in the entire country. I mean, he could be an All-American first team across the board next season. And what he does, what he brings to this Auburn basketball team is just unbelievable. And look, we've been waiting around for this for a while. I felt pretty good about it. I did. I felt pretty good. But we had not gotten the official word yet. And I said this earlier on Doug's show. I visit with him every Thursday at 11:15 on the Max Roundtable. I said that the longer this went on, the better I felt in a weird way. It's typically the opposite, right? It's typically, all right, the longer you wait for this decision to be made for a player to do something, the worse that it feels and the worse that the result ends up being in terms of what you want. But with Jani Broome, it just felt like if he was going to call it quits at Auburn and truly declare for the draft and be gone, that he would have done it already. And the longer this went on, the better I felt that he was going to come back, be at Auburn, give it one more go. And the video that was put out the other day before he committed yesterday of him going around and talking with students and driving around on the golf cart and walking around campus, like, I tried to tell you that was a pretty good sign. And here we are late yesterday afternoon. Jani Broome posted on his Instagram. It's been shared everywhere. It's been reported. It is a fact that Jani Broome is coming back to the Auburn Tigers. And folks, this makes Auburn an instant contender once again. This makes Auburn basketball an instant threat to win the SEC regular season championship, try to win another SEC tournament championship, and try to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament. Jani Broom brings all of that to you on this team. If Jani Broom had decided not to come back, Auburn was still going to be good, but they were going to be scrambling. They were going to be scrambling to look for his replacement at the four and try to find an all-SEC guy, an all-American caliber player, somebody that was getting interest from the NBA. Auburn was going to be in a really bad spot if Jani Broom didn't come back. But they probably had a pretty good idea of what his plans were. And now that you do bring him back, now that you bring him back alongside Chad Baker-Mazzara, Denver Jones, those types of guys, Dylan Cardwell, you bring in your experienced guys that have played at Auburn now for at least a year, if not longer, plus your transfer portal addition of J.P. Pegues, and I don't think Auburn's done, plus your two-star freshmen in Ja'Kai Howard and Tahad Pettiford. You've got some really, really valuable players that are going to be on this team. You got studs all around. And I said this earlier, and I'll continue to say it. Now the pressure's on. The pressure is on Auburn and Bruce Pearl. Because at this point, in my opinion, I don't think you have any other excuse. I don't think you have anything. You're going to have the exact roster that you want. You went and got your starting point guard in J.P. Pegues from Furman. You've got Denver Jones, your shooting guard that you brought in from a year ago. You've got his backup right now in Tahad Pettiford coming in, who's a five-star All-American freshman. You also have your three and four, which I think you can afford to get one more, and we'll talk about that. But between Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara, okay, cool. Ja'Kai Howard's going to be in there too. You've got your four. He's an All-American. Jani Broom has decided to come back. And I've been telling you, Dylan Cardwell needs to be your five. And I think you can afford to go get another five somewhere. You could go get another center. I think you need one. But your starting five and your first couple of guys off the bench, that's as good as it gets here, ladies and gentlemen. That's as good as it gets. And so now as we begin to start looking at what this roster is going to look like, because this was the big puzzle piece today. That was obvious. Was Jani Broom, whether he was coming back to Auburn or not. But he's back. He's here. And you've lost guys in the portal. Donaldson, Holloway, Katie Johnson. You've had guys graduate. Leor, Jalen Williams. Those guys are gone. They're not coming back. Okay. That's fine. You've replaced them, and you're in the process of replacing them right now. And so when November gets here, when the basketball season begins, the expectations are going to be there once again. Bruce Pearl and Auburn will be one of the favorites to win the SEC regular season title. They'll be one of the favorites to win the SEC tournament title. And they'll be one of the favorites to win the national title. They'll be top 25 in betting odds to win it all. They're going to be top four, top three in the SEC projected standings. And I think they'll be top 20, top 15 in the preseason AP poll, which if you buy into those, that's fine. That's up to you. But I'm just telling you what's going to happen because the talent is there. The skills are there. The players are there. And there is no more excuse. There's no more backing up what has happened so far. Because another bad season is unacceptable. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying you're going to have all the pieces. If you're Bruce Pearl and this staff, you're going to have almost everything you could ask for. And now it's time to do it. Now it's time to complete it. And you're not going to be the only one. Doug was talking about this earlier. Alabama's going to have a good chance to have their very own version of that. But the SEC is going to run through this state one way or the other. Kentucky will not be what they usually are. Arkansas, they ain't even got a player on the roster right now. Florida, watch out for them. But who else is it going to be? Who else is going to threaten Auburn and Alabama next year? Each other, that's about it. And yeah, you still have to go through one another. But in terms of Auburn, and you're able to bring Jani Broom back, and let's be real, you were able to scrounge up the money to pay him to come back because it wasn't cheap, and it definitely wasn't for free. You found the money to pay him to come back, to pay Dylan to come back, to pay Denver and Chad to come back and play on this team, you better be right. Same thing we've been saying with Hugh Freeze and Peyton Thorne. You better be right. Because this is a huge opportunity. And for Auburn basketball, man, I start to ask you this question. How does it get better? How does the talent get better? What more could you ask for on a roster next season? With an All-American four, with an All-SEC type of guy at a center in Dylan Cardwell, because I think he's that good and I think he'll become that good as well. With Denver Jones, who was playing his best basketball in March. If he can start in November playing that way and get back to what he was before he got here as an 18 points per game scorer, come on. That's going to be phenomenal. That's going to be fantastic. Plus, you bring in J.P. Pegues. Plus, you still have Chad Baker-Mazzara and Chaney Johnson. Two guys that we know the ceiling is extremely high. All the pieces are going to be there. It's time to win. It's time to do it now. If some of those guys had decided to leave and not come back, that's one thing. But you obviously got rid of what you didn't want. You got rid of KD. You got rid of Trey. You got rid of Aiden. They're gone. And you're in the process of replacing them right now. Plus your freshman coming in. There are no more excuses. There's no more, well, we'll get them next year. No. It's time to win right now. Because Jahni Broome's that good. This team has the potential to be that good. And isn't it exciting to talk about this in the middle to the back end of April? We're already hyped up and excited about the season next year, coming off a terrible, terrible loss in the NCAA tournament. That's what the hype has done. That's how big of a decision that Jahni Broome coming back is. And I know you're all excited about it. I want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. I want to hear about it because he's one of the best players that Auburn's ever had. I mean, let's just go ahead and put that out there. Jahni Broome has become and will be one of the best players Auburn basketball has ever had. And he's coming back for another season. Now, I'm sure some of it is selfishly wanting to make his draft stock better. Sure, absolutely. I'm sure some of it is you're going to pay me that much money to play another year of college basketball where I just dominated? Okay. Sign me up, write the check, put it in my account. Let's go. Let's do it again. Play with my friends, play with my brothers, have a good time. Yeah, that all is a perfectly good reason or perfectly good reasons to come back. But I guarantee he wants to win. I guarantee those guys over there want to win. And Bruce Pearl wants to win too. It's just got to happen. You cannot underestimate how big this is for Jahni Broome to come back. And he didn't do it alone. Dylan came back. Denver came back. Some of those guys could have left, gone pro. Some of those guys could have left, gone somewhere else. Some did, some didn't. But I think you've got the core of what you want. You've got the core of guys, the core of talent that can take Auburn to the mountaintop. The question becomes, can they do it? Can they get coached enough to get there? Can they win the game they're supposed to win to get there? Because the guys are going to be there, I can promise you that. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. Come on in, be a part of it. What's on your mind? How do you feel about Jahni Broome coming back to Auburn? Plus, Aiden Holloway visiting Alabama today. I know there's a lot of emotion still on that from yesterday and into today. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Terry, what's up, man? You're first up.
Hey, Jake, how's it going?
Going good, man. What's on your mind?
Everything you said is 100% true. Great to have Jahni Broome back, best player in the Auburn history. You're going to, before this all is said and done, you're going to Barkley, Person, Porter, Broome. that are the names you're going to hear at Auburn basketball.
Well, I think he'll be one of. I don't know if he'll be the best, but
he'll be one of them.
Yeah, he'll be one of the greats. There's no doubt.
But the problem is Auburn's backcourt has been so bad, and that is what they still haven't addressed. Look, we heard the same thing about Aiden Holloway. He was going to be the answer, and the backcourt's the reason they've lost in the tournament. The backcourt is the reason they're losing in the first and second round. That has been the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem has not been down low. They're dominant down low, but the problem is the backcourt. That is the problem. The problem was Wendell Green last year. The problem was Aiden Holloway at times this year. Lack of size, the bad play, bad free throw shooting, that has been the problem. Bruce Pearl's inability sometimes to coach the backcourt, and let's be honest, that 2019 team that went to the Final Four, that was a great backcourt. That was a backcourt that wanted to win, that had a desire to win, but even more of a hatred for losing than a desire for winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
that's what they were. So the problem at Auburn, to my opinion, has not been addressed. The problem is the backcourt. The problem is the guards.
I think it's been addressed a little bit, Terry. I mean, you're bringing in, and I know this has started to become a little bit of a joke to Auburn fans at times. But you know, you're bringing in a 5-star guard in Pettiford, right? But we've heard that numerous times, and Bruce has said he's already going to play the 2 behind Denver Jones. But I think Denver brings you a lot of leadership and elite play at the 2-guard spot right now. And then you just brought in JP Pegues, the 6-foot-2 point guard that's going to be your starting one this season for Auburn. And I think he's a really special talent too. And so I think your starters are good there at the guard spot. And look, I think JP Pegues is going to be your best point guard that Auburn's had since Sharif Cooper.
Well, it's a wait and see thing.
Yeah, that's right. But he's at least proven a little bit. I mean, he's at least from the portal. He's played. And this is bigger basketball. Yes, this is bigger than Furman. But he's at least played a little bit. This isn't a 5-star Aiden Holloway that's coming in after dominating AAU basketball and hoping that he can take the jump, because he obviously could not.
Well, I know 5 stars is good. Is a great ranking. But when the bottom line hits, it's just somebody's opinions, all it is.
Well, I mean, you got to back it up. You got to play. I mean, stars only carry you so far, Terry. But if you don't make shots and don't make plays, it doesn't matter to me.
John Calipari's got a bunch of 5 stars, but he's only got one national title, and the Kentucky fans ran him off.
Yeah, you're right about that.
He's at Arkansas. But the problem is the backcourt, and that still hadn't been addressed like I think a lot of Auburn fans would want it to be. The lack of size, you know, the play, everything, all that. I mean, glad to have Janai Broome back. He's certainly one of the best players in Auburn history, but you see where I'm coming from here, right?
I do. And you know, with Janai Broome coming back and the guys that are on this team, that's just it's not something that Auburn didn't, and this is going to sound weird, Auburn didn't gain anything by Janai Broome coming back. Auburn just stayed consistent with that being the dominant part of their game. Offensively,
yeah, it would have been a bigger loss than a gain.
Exactly.
Back
yeah.
is more of a average than a game.
Yeah, that's right.
Now they know what they have with him. He's a great player.
Exactly, and that's a constant that you now have yet again for another season, rather than having to scramble right now on April 18th and have to go find your next star at the 4 position.
And I heard people say yesterday, said, well, he's a 6'10 guy that can shoot. I said, well, the NBA is loaded with 6'10 guys that can shoot.
That's about everybody in the NBA nowadays.
Appreciate it, Jacob. Take care, bud.
Thanks so much, Terry. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390. And that may be a crazy statement to some, but I think Terry's right. It would be a bigger loss for Janai Broome to not come back than it is a bigger addition, because you're not adding anything. You're just staying constant in something that was really, really good, which is your 4 spot. And same thing with Dylan Cardwell at the 5, where you're now like, okay, if you're Bruce Pearl, yes, you're still going to coach it. You're still going to want them to get better and use that as your offense, but you can at least take a little bit, maybe even nonchalantly, if you will, or just whatever the word you want to use is, but you can sort of take your focus away from them just a little bit, and you don't have to worry about them as much, right? You don't have to worry about your 4 and your 5. You don't have to worry about the guys down low as much as what you should on your guards, like Terry was saying, which is absolutely been the weak point of Auburn basketball. It has. I mean, it has been the thing that has plagued Auburn for years. It's the thing that got them to the Final Four, and it's the thing that has lost them games in the NCAA tournament to Miami and to Yale, right? That's how this has happened to Houston. Like, that's how Auburn has lost. And so, if you're Bruce Pearl, and if you're this coaching staff, you can say, I know what I've got in Janiah Broome and Dylan Cardwell. I'm good. You guys do your thing. Let's work on a few things here and there, but let's do what we did. It worked. You can now turn that focal point to, okay, JP Pegues, okay, Denver Jones, we've got to have elite play out of you guys. How can we do that? What can we do differently to make our guard spot better? And that's something that I said at the end of this past season when Auburn went one and done in the NCAA tournament. Like, we cannot roll into this next basketball season if you're Bruce Pearl and do the exact same thing. Because guess what? It doesn't work. And I know you've got different players, and a lot would argue, myself included, you're probably going to have better players. But you have to change up your game plan just a little bit, man. And I know these old school guys don't want to do it. I know they don't want to do it. They want to do the same thing they've done for the last 20 years in college basketball. Just ask John Calipari. It's been the same thing. And he's at a new job. He's at a new place. You have to be able to adjust because the game has changed. And I'm not saying that Bruce doesn't know how to coach, and I'm not saying that he's not a good head coach. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying you got to throw the whole system out of the window, but just make some altercations here and there. Make a few little adjustments. Take out your eraser. Erase that part and write in something else. Change your answer from B to C. And that could be the difference. And there's a lot of those things that it could be. And there's a reason he gets paid as much as he does. He's a lot smarter than I am, but you can't just keep finding players and throwing them into the system and hope that it works, because over time it just hasn't, right? It has not worked at a high-level, consistent basis. But I'm with Terry that the down low 4 and 5 has not been the problem. And isn't that crazy? Because think about on that Final Four team, or think about the year after that. Down low sort of was an issue. Like, on the Final Four team, you had Chuma Okeke, you had Anthony McLemore, but they couldn't hang with what Auburn's got right now with Janiah Broome. Janiah Broome would have a field day. And that's why it's so important for him to come back, because now that part of the game is good, offensively and defensively, too. We're not talking enough about a defensive player in Janiah Broome, who, again, is one of the biggest threats around the conference when it comes to his defensive play. Dylan Cardwell's the same way. I would argue that Dylan Cardwell got better defensively than he did offensively from last year to this past year. Now, he got some foul calls that were not fair, that were incorrect, that were just flat out wrong. But I think you can fix that. And I think that's going to be where you feel his presence most again this coming up season, is Dylan Cardwell down low. And I've said it numerous times, and I'll say it again, he needs to develop a little bit of an offensive game. I love Dylan. That's my guy. He's great. He's a huge fan favorite on this station. He's with us for Tiger Takes every week in basketball season. But we got to get a little bit of an offensive game going other than rebounding and putbacks. And if he can get that, I don't care if it's an 8-foot jumper. I don't care if it's a turnaround floater. I don't care what it is. If he develops anything like that, you better watch out. And I think he would get some serious NBA consideration if Dylan Cardwell could do that. Don't expect him to step out and start shooting threes. Let's not go crazy here. I think Janiah will keep doing it. And he should if he really wants to play in the league, because like Terry said, there's 6'10 guys that can shoot everywhere up there. So you've got to be able to do that. But that part's set. The other four, the backup four and your three, yeah, you've got Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara. I think you can get one more in there. Your two-guard spot is set. Denver Jones and Tahad Pettiford, check. You're done. And you just found your starting point guard in JP Pegues. So overall, what else does Auburn need? What else do you think Auburn needs? What else does Auburn want? The biggest piece just came back. The biggest piece just came back. And this Auburn team is going to be really, really good, which is so exciting. It's so exciting because everybody's come back. It's like one final ride. It's one last time. And we'll see what the schedule looks like. We'll see what the rest of the SEC looks like, because we just don't really know. We don't really know what the SEC is going to be, man. It's going to be all over the place, wide open, And I said it before, I think the championship of the SEC will run through the state of Alabama. Coming up next, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us. We'll talk about Jahni Broom. We'll talk about Aiden Holloway. Talk a little Auburn baseball as well. That's all coming up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. And joining us on the phone lines, our Thursday 2:30 guest each and every week throughout football, basketball, and of course now through baseball season, it is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, great to hear from you once again, my friend. Happy Thursday.
Jacob, War Eagle, thanks for having me. Look forward to it always, and let's have a great day.
Well, there is so much to talk about with spring practice now being over for Auburn football. The transfer portal for college football is open. The transfer portal for college basketball is open, and tons of news on that side of things, and that's where we will begin. And it's with the news that we got about 5 o'clock yesterday, that Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers will have their four-guy back, their pretty much one of the best players in all the SEC and all of college basketball. Jahni Broom finally announced, as fans were starting to get a little bit nervous here, Brad. Jahni Broom has announced he's coming back for one more year to play for Bruce Pearl and the Tigers.
Yeah, four-year basketball standout. He's been great every year in college and should be the preseason player of the year in the SEC. I think I'm biased, but he's an accomplished center. Versatile big man. He doesn't just score. He scores. He rebounds. He defends. He passes better than people give him credit for. Smart basketball player, just an all-around leader, and makes Auburn much, much better next year just by making the announcement that he's going to come back. I think it allows the team on the floor, whatever the final composition of that team is, to be more versatile and better. Yeah, that's a big win for Auburn basketball that he made that announcement. It's a big win for Jahni, too. Again, I think, Jacob, we talked last week about what NIL has meant to the college game.
Mm-hmm.
So often, some take it in a negative way. And this is one of the positives of NIL. These guys don't have to hurry away from school in order to begin to start a professional career or provide and make money and put food on the table. And, now he's able to get more out of his college experience. He's able to compete longer at the college level. He's still going to play professionally after his college career is done, but he doesn't have to be in a rush to do that. And so, it's kind of a win-win scenario for Jahni and for Auburn basketball and its fans.
Well, I think this is one of the good scenarios and the good examples of what NIL is and what it can do for somebody, which is sort of what you were just talking about, Brad, with a guy like Jahni Broom, who started at a smaller school in Morehead State, played really well, earned his way to an SEC school at Auburn, has just dominated since he got here. And yeah, now he's earned himself a true name, image, and likeness money, and he's coming back for another year, and the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, and I don't want to make it just about the NIL money. That's obviously a part that it plays, but to continue the college experience, to spend another year on campus, to continue to raise his profile and develop his game, and to get him more ready to play against professional basketball players with a staff that has a long track record of doing that with guys who come in with pro potential, who maximize that pro potential. So, by the way, to compete in the greatest home court environment in college basketball, to compete in the premier conference in college basketball, to chase championships, which are possible at Auburn. They're just coming off of an SEC tournament championship. It's not just a dollars and cents deal, but the basketball component, the competitive component, the elite component of this, it checks all the boxes for Jahni.
I've started to try to kind of rack my brain a little bit because it's not just the NIL part of it, Brad, for Jahni Broome, but he is coming back, as you mentioned, to develop his game and get better to play at the next level. And I want to open this up to you. What area could he get better at, whether it be offensively, defensively, or just any other part of the game? In your mind, is there something in particular that you think Jahni Broome could work on this year that could make him truly ready for the next step? Did we lose Brad? We may. Oh, yep. Looks like we lost Brad. Well, he may call us back. You may want to take the phone lines off of busy all there, Alan. He may call back in just a second. Well, I'll try to answer that question until Brad Law comes back, because that is, and there he is right there, so we'll get him in just a second. But, you know, it's a real question because, you know, with Jahni Broome, I mean, he was already getting NBA consideration. He was already getting professional basketball takes and people that were interested in him. And so, you know, when you come back, yes, you do have to work on your game a little bit, and some things he possibly could get better. And I think we got Brad Law back. Do we have you now, Brad?
Yeah, you got me, guys. I'm like near the Mississippi border and on the way to Starkville for baseball, so I cannot guarantee the strength of the signal here, but thanks for giving us a little rope with that. I think Jahni, yeah, that's a very good question. I think defending guards, I think switching defensively, and I think you'll continue to see him make the three-point shot a little more of his game. He shot 35% from three last year. That was better than both Aiden Holloway and KD Johnson. And so I think you'll continue to see his game further away from the basket, ball handling away from the basket. The passing is there. The vision's there. We know the finishing at the basket and the rebounding, those are all there. But I certainly think defending further out and then ball handling further away from the basket are probably areas that he will want to improve his game going into next year.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7 in the car, heading to Stark Vegas for Auburn baseball this weekend. We'll get to that in just a second. As you look at this Auburn roster now, you have J.P. Pegues coming in through the transfer portal. You have Denver Jones coming back. You still have Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Dylan Cardwell, Jahni Broome. Plus, you have some star-studded freshmen coming through the door as well. I mean, this should be a top three roster in the SEC next year, Brad. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. In fact, I was going to call it a top 10 roster nationally.
Wow.
Top three SEC, top 10 nationally. I mean, we'll see what the final pieces look like. I don't know how much more will change, but you know, a couple of tremendously talented freshmen. Ja'Kai Howard, what I hear about him is his defensive prowess already and the tenacity with which he approaches defense, which is a perfect fit in Bruce's system, and with his length and athleticism, and Pettiford, and we know what he does from the guard spot. Wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn go after maybe another, you know, a backup point guard, maybe another big man in the portal. We'll see, just to kind of round out that roster. But yeah, it's kind of all there: scoring, defense, size, athleticism. It's absolutely, I think, an upper echelon roster in the SEC and nationally.
As we transition into Auburn baseball, the sport that you are on the way to be a part of the call on this weekend, Auburn continuing through this SEC schedule and trying to really break through and try to get some wins and build a little momentum in the back end of this schedule. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum, right, Brad? It's just been a brutal schedule on what Auburn has had to go through to start this season. I mean, playing top 10 teams, top 5 teams, weekend after weekend after weekend. And not that it gets easier with Mississippi State, but they're not a top 5, top 10 team. So maybe it does get a hair easier for this Auburn squad and Butch Thompson.
Yeah, I think D1 baseball's top 25 rankings this week. Auburn has played in the SEC. They've played numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 13 or 14, wherever Vanderbilt is this week, 13 or 14. That's an incredible test. Now, you say you want to play that level of competition to see where you are, and you know Auburn's 2 and 13 in the league, so they're not 1, 2, 3, 4, or 13 nationally. Now, on the back half, you know, the pitching has to be better. They've got injuries right now that they're dealing with, and we'll see if Bobby Pierce and Ike Irish and Mason Maynard, three absolute locked-in starters who did not start against Georgia Tech in the win there over the Yellow Jackets Tuesday, we'll see if they're available. But, I mean, we know if you look at the pitching matchups throughout the SEC this weekend, Auburn starters are going to have to be better. Auburn's bullpen will have to be better on the back half of the schedule than it was in the first half. But they're tested, and we know that nobody on the staff, nobody on the roster has given in and just kind of folded up and headed home just because they've struggled halfway through the SEC. These guys, I think there's a professional approach and attitude with this team. And these guys who want to go play professional baseball, you're going to play 162 games in a regular season. It's not always going to go your way. You got to come out with the same approach day after day. And they took care of business against Georgia Tech Tuesday night. Got off to the great start, saw the 8-0 lead dwindle down to 8-7, and you thought, you couldn't help but think, here we go again. But they responded, and they kept scoring. And the bullpen did a really nice job, giving up just one run over the final five innings of that ball game, and they were able to get the win over Georgia Tech. So hopefully that can be a little bit of a propeller for this team into the second half of conference play.
Well, that was going to be my next question. I mean, any chance that it does become that thing that launches them, gives them that confidence? I mean, going into the Kentucky series, you just didn't feel great after losing to Tennessee and then dropping the Alabama State game in the midweek and really having to fight to get that Georgia Tech win after losing to that great start. I mean, any chance that does get this team ready to play against Mississippi State, LSU, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Alabama?
I think that's a part of it, Jacob. I also think that a few of the positive components from the last couple of weekends can be a part of it. Again, I think back to last year when Auburn was, I guess, 4-8 going into Tuscaloosa, and Tommy Vail gave them just a dynamite start in game one of that series that they won handily. Now, they lost the last two. They lost the series. But that start by Tommy sort of catapulted the attitude and change things on the back half of the schedule that was less challenging, frankly, than the front half of the schedule. Carson Myers has gone out two weekends in a row and been outstanding out of the bullpen. Gave Auburn a shot in the games in which he pitched out of the bullpen. Tanner Bauman, in a starting role in the finale against Kentucky, was really good, 4 or 5 innings. Those two guys are going to get starts this weekend. Can their pitching performances the last time out carry over into a start on the road in Starkville? It's not guaranteed, but it's on the table, and that can be a catalyst for something positive happening the second half of this conference season. I absolutely think those can be pieces, and you know, you get enough pieces that you can put together and link up, and then you can have, you know, you start stringing together some wins.
Auburn baseball on the road in Starkville this weekend for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. Friday at 6, Saturday at 5, and Sunday at 1 o'clock. Those are all first pitch times. If you're here locally in Auburn, Opelika, you can catch those radio broadcasts with Brad Law on the Auburn Sports Network over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Brad, you're on the road. We appreciate you joining us from on the road. You guys be careful. Tell the folks what they need to know about the game broadcast this weekend.
Yeah, you said it. Wings 94.3, 15 minutes before first pitch. I'm glad the signal held out. Thanks for having us, as always, and War Eagle.
Thanks so much, Brad. We appreciate you joining us from the road. They are heading to Stark Vegas, is what I call it. And, well, it's not Vegas, but it's something over there. In Starkville, Mississippi, we appreciate him joining us as they're making their way over there. Him and Andy will be on the call this weekend for the Auburn Sports Network. And, man, I mean, what more can you say than what we were just talking about with this Auburn baseball team? I mean, it's, you got to win, man. And even if the postseason outlook is not great, because it's not, you've still got to find a way to get some wins. And I actually heard Bill and Dan talking about this yesterday, and they made some really good points about how you have to finish out the year to give guys some confidence to convince them, hey, you should come back. Hey, you should want to play for Auburn again next season, because there's a handful of guys on this team, on this roster for Auburn baseball, that could go pro, could go play somewhere else, and you have to show them that there is something to build on moving into next year. So that was a really good point by them that I heard a piece of yesterday. And Auburn baseball at Mississippi State Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Starkville. Then they have Florida A&M at home next Tuesday night before they go back on the road, this time in Baton Rouge, to take on LSU next weekend for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series as well. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Couple of more minutes here in hour number one on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Huge shout out to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who's with us every Thursday. This time he was on the road heading to Starkville, Mississippi for Auburn baseball this weekend. Him and Andy Burchill will be on the call for the Auburn Sports Network. So we appreciate him joining us on the show, even though he was in the car dealing with a little bit of some signal issues. But hey, that'll happen when you start heading over to that state next door. So we appreciate him joining us each and every week, including today, talking basketball, talking a little baseball as well. And, you know, it's funny because right now, as we speak on April 18th, the transfer portal is open for college basketball, but it is open for college football. And it just seems like it hasn't been all that exciting. And it's so funny to say it that way, because it's not, the transfer portal's not there for us to be excited about. It's not there for the media to just hype up and get excited and the fans to go crazy about. Like, the portal window is there for players that want to leave their programs and go try somewhere else to have the ability to do that. And it's also for programs that want to go and find some guys to fill some spots on their roster. That's what it's made for. And we forget that a lot, myself included. I mean, this is my job, and I talk about it pretty much every day. But it has not been all that busy. It hasn't been all that crazy. And I'm really struggling to find out and figure out why. Why has the portal not been all that insane in this spring window? I mean, it just hasn't been all that. I mean, even for, I'm not even just talking for Auburn in particular, just kind of in general. I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of movement with the portal in terms of football. Auburn's had some visitors. They've got another one coming up next week. The Miami transfer in the linebacker room, last name Kelly. So I don't know. It just seems to be a little on the quiet side when it comes to the transfer portal for football, and with that Kelly kid trying to fill in the linebacker room that's got a couple of experienced guys, but man, they got some young puppies in there, as head coach Hugh Freeze called them earlier in the offseason. Let's get to the phone lines quickly here before we wrap up hour number one. 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, Jacob. I was going to say, I think we could have the loudest roar in Neville Arena history this fall.
Really?
I do. I tell you what, if Aiden winds up going to Alabama and Janai Broome drives the lane, gets an and one, and does the too small thing, might be the loudest roar in Neville Arena history.
Yeah, that became his go-to move, didn't it, John? It became the go-to for Janai Broome. He just told everybody they were too small. Even guys that were taller than him, he didn't care.
Right, yeah, they're everybody's, it's like watching baseball, and Ozzie Albee says the too small thing to people. Hey, I was going to say, if Aiden does go to Alabama,
uh-huh,
I mean, wow, you thought the Allen Flanagan reception was chilly. Wait till that one comes.
Oh, it'd be nasty. It would be nasty. And I'm not saying that anything negative against Auburn fans. That's just sports in general. If this was any other rivalry, it'd be the same way. Not quite that bad, because that's just how the Auburn-Alabama rivalry is. But, yeah, he's visiting Tuscaloosa today. And, man, it would not be a fun trip for him to come to Neville Arena next season.
Not at all. Not at all. Hey, thank you for the show. Just one quick last point. I think Alabama's a good fit for Aiden, because he'd be in an environment where he could chuck up a bunch of shots a game.
You better believe it.
And if he can do that, I really think he could be successful there.
And I think Nate Oates is a good coach that gives people confidence because he does allow them to shoot, and he tells them, if you're open, you better shoot it, or I'm going to put you on the bench.
Right, right. I think I know you're up against the break. I think Aiden would have done very well at Auburn about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That, I think the complexion of that offense, and there's too many mouths to feed.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, John.
Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks so much, man. 334-321-1390. We'll shut them down until we get into hour number two. You can call in, but we won't be able to get to you till the start of the 3 o'clock hour. But no, I think John's right. I think he's right, and it's funny because, as I mentioned earlier, I was on with Doug today, and that's a lot of the conversation we had was, look, I think Aiden Holloway would be really good at Alabama. I think their system fits Aiden Holloway. He can run in there, run and gun. He can shoot at will, and he's not going to get yelled at for missing shots. And Alabama fans are not going to get upset if he misses 4 or 5 threes because they shoot 60 of them a game, and they miss about 40 of them, but they make enough of them to where they beat you more times than not. We'll talk some more about Aiden Holloway visiting Alabama. That visit's happening today. Yeah, today. Isn't that crazy? We'll talk some more about that, what it could mean, and John's right too. Oh, it would be a miserable experience for Mr. Holloway if he does wear the crimson and white and decides to come back to Neville Arena wearing those colors. It would not be a pretty reception, I'll tell you that. We'll talk some about that. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us in hour number two as well. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Thursday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And yes, we've done that all show long today. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find it right after the show at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. Talked with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network back in hour number one. Also talked about the big news for Auburn basketball and Jahni Broome coming back to the Plains. He'll be here for one more year. He'll team up with Dylan Cardwell, Denver Jones, Chad Baker-Mazzara, Chaney Johnson, you name it, man. He's going to be joining those guys once again, and you bring in the new players like J.P. Pegues and Dahad Pettiford. I mean, this team's going to be really good. And I keep telling you, I don't think Auburn's done just yet in the transfer portal. So we had all that back in hour number one. So if you missed it, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. Phone lines are open for the next 30 minutes. What's on your mind? We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. How are you feeling about Jahni Broome coming back? What are the expectations now for Auburn into next season for Auburn basketball? I had some hot takes in the first hour, but hot takes that I believe about this team and about this coaching staff and what the expectations should be for Auburn basketball moving forward now with all of those guys coming back. So we'd love to hear from you on that. And coming up here in hour number two, it's Thursday. We've talked to this guy for over 2 years on Thursdays now. It's Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, where man, he does such a wonderful job. It's every single day, audio, video, talking all the latest around the Southeastern Conference, and just looking at some of his latest episodes, I mean, he's hit all the big topics, and there's been enough going on around the Southeastern Conference. Let's just be honest about that. I mean, there's been so much happening with the John Calipari news, with Kentucky hiring Mark Pope. I mean, you've still got all the spring games that just wrapped up, and the portal's been opened up for football. I mean, it's been crazy right now around college football, college basketball, and Locked On SEC has been killing it on YouTube and on audio. So if you have not listened to that, please go check that out at Locked On SEC. So he'll be joining us coming up in about 30 minutes or so. And man, I feel like the waves, the shock waves, have sort of calmed down a little bit in terms of the Calipari to Arkansas, the Mark Pope to Kentucky. Like, I think all of that has sort of settled down just a little bit. You've still got, you know, some players leaving and entering and committing to other places in the portal. But, man, that was a wild offseason for SEC basketball. And SEC football continues to be a hot topic as well in terms of SEC with Alabama. I mean, people still trying to figure out what in the world's going to happen up there. And how, isn't it crazy how the culture has changed so fast in Tuscaloosa? And if you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about. The pictures, the videos, the things, the people that are hanging around the facility. And yes, I am talking about him. Yes, you know who I'm talking about. Those things didn't happen with Nick Saban there. And I'm not going to push into this super hard, maybe. But it's just different. And it's so intriguing to watch. Because we haven't even seen any real football yet in Tuscaloosa. And yet, there's already a different feel on the people that are there, the players that are there, and the vibes coming out of that side of the state. Fans, I don't think, have fully accepted it yet. Most Alabama fans, I don't think, have fully realized what's about to happen to them and what this season's going to be. But when you've got celebrations for the A-Day game and you've got guys getting trophies and things like that, and you have Instagram and TikTok stars, I think is the word to use there, joining the team and being around the team and talking to the team, motivation, like all of those things, just that didn't happen under Nick Saban at Alabama. They showed up and worked. They showed up and worked every single day, and they came to play football. They came to play football and they came to win championships. And I'm not saying that's not what they're doing now, but it's just a lot different already, and Kalen DeBoer has not been there very long, and he's already had to defend guys that are on his staff for things they've done in the past. He's already had to worry about that. He's already having to fill this roster and hit the portal and try to figure out what they have. I mean, most of it has nothing to do with the actual team that Alabama has, and it's just a different vibe, man. And look, that's nothing that Auburn fans should really get overly worked up about, because it's not your problem. It's not our problem. It's not anybody in Auburn's problem. Anybody that wears orange and blue, doesn't matter. Just wait for the fall to come around, and crazy things are going to happen. I'm just telling you. I mean, we've looked at it before, and we're going to compare Auburn and Alabama's schedule right now in terms of the football schedules this fall. It's going to be a tough sled for this Alabama team. I'm just telling you right now. And we're going to get to Auburn's in just a second. But looking at it for 2024, for Alabama football, even if Nick Saban was there, this is still a rough schedule for the Crimson Tide. All right, so they've already played their A-Day game. They open up with Western Kentucky. Okay. They welcome South Florida to Tuscaloosa. Remember, they went down to South Florida and almost lost last year. Then their first road game of the year, their third non-conference game in a row, they fly up to Madison, Wisconsin to take on the Badgers on September 14th. Now, let me say this. That is not a good Wisconsin team. That's a team that's getting better. It's a program that's trying to be revived with Luke Fickell at the helm, the former Cincinnati coach, the one that took them to the college football playoff. Yeah, that guy. Wisconsin's not going to be great, but they're going to show up and be ready, because for the first time in a long time, a team like Wisconsin has a chance to beat big bad Alabama. And then after that game, their reward is to come home on the final Saturday of September, and they get to host the Georgia Bulldogs in Tuscaloosa for a night game, of course. So the Bulldogs got to go over there and try to take down Alabama in their house. They go to Vanderbilt. All right. They host South Carolina. Okay. They do go to Knoxville this year, does Alabama, before hosting Missouri. They're in Baton Rouge taking on LSU. They host Mercer. And then the final two games of the year. They're at Oklahoma. Yep, for a conference game. Remember that? They're at Oklahoma in late November. And then they're home for the Iron Bowl because Auburn travels to Tuscaloosa this year on November 30th. Look, I'm just telling you right now, I see one, two, at least three losses on this schedule. At least three. They should, just starting from the top, talking about Alabama, they should beat Western Kentucky. They should beat South Florida. And I'll give them the win at Wisconsin. I'll give it to them. Why not? I think they'll have enough talent. Intern Allen, you disagree?
Well, the first thing that stands out to me, especially with this new scheduling in the SEC, usually you see with Alabama, you see that tough November stretch and then the Iron Bowl at the end. It's kind of mixed up this time. Instead of playing Mercer the week before Auburn or whatever FCS opponent that they have lined up, and a lot of teams do that before they play their big rival, but they go to Norman, Oklahoma.
That's not an easy trip.
That's definitely an interesting dynamic because you saw it a couple of years ago with Auburn. It was kind of different seeing them go to South Carolina before the Iron Bowl in 2021 and playing these other conference games right before you play Alabama. So with all this different scheduling, you get Mercer in that third-to-last game rather than that second-to-last game.
And you look at Auburn's schedule, it's the same thing. They play in the month of November. They're home for Vanderbilt. They're home for ULM. They're home for Texas A&M before they travel to Alabama. So both Auburn and Alabama both playing tough games before the Iron Bowl. Auburn just has the beneficiary of being right here on the Plains rather than having to fly out to Norman, Oklahoma.
That's right. And one thing that you were talking about, you and Uncle T were talking about yesterday, or I believe it was yesterday, y'all were talking about the neutral site games.
Yeah.
It's better seeing Alabama, Wisconsin on a college campus rather than Atlanta, rather than Arlington. You want these, it's like we talked about with the playoff, we need to keep as many games on campus as we can so it doesn't turn into these quote-unquote money grabs just for total money-grabbing purposes. Mm-hmm. And Alabama at Madison, Wisconsin. That's another thing is that for the longest time, Alabama didn't play these intriguing home-and-homes for the longest time. So that's going to be very fun to watch. And you're starting to see it more as they went to Texas. I believe the one with South Florida was a 2-1. So I think they go to – because they get to go to South Florida, they get to host South Florida twice.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I think that's right.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're right, though, and I agree with you. I mean, look at Auburn-Cal. I mean, Auburn played in Berkeley last year. Like, I mean, it was a random trip, and I know a ton of people that went, and it was almost a nightmare, but that was better than playing in Dallas, playing against Cal. That would have been boring.
The only knock was that the game ended at about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, gosh, yeah. We stayed up and watched that until 2:30 and watched Auburn almost lose to California, but it'll be cool.
But they didn't.
You're right. They didn't lose. But now you get to see Cal come to Auburn. And you know, for me, and this is just me personally. This is strictly just me. And there may be people that are like this and maybe people that don't care. But it's really cool for me, somebody that's grown up, not getting to go to as many games as I would like since I didn't grow up down here. But it's something that I check off of my list on getting to see different teams play inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Like, getting to see teams that you don't normally get to. Like, I can still remember, the Iron Bowl is a little bit different, but going to see Alabama play for the first time and seeing LSU in person for the first time and watching Tennessee in person for the first time. Like, that's really cool to me. Those are the things that I really enjoy about college football, which is why I like these home and homes. Like, I'm going to be excited to watch Cal and cover the game where Cal comes to Auburn. Like, that's pretty much a once in a lifetime thing, because that's probably never going to happen again for a long, long time to watch a team like Cal and eventually Texas and Oklahoma start coming to the Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Right. And one thing, and that's another cool thing about it, is when you have those bigger teams come in, the atmosphere is different. The electricity in the air is different. Like, when you're at an Auburn Georgia game in Jordan-Hare, you can tell it's a clear difference between Auburn and, just use an example with Cal. I mean, it's going to feel so much more different. The atmosphere is going to be great. No matter how bad the 2022 Penn State game was, prior to that, I mean, it was about as electric of an atmosphere as you could get for about a quarter.
Yeah, leading up to kickoff was great. I mean, that was fantastic. And then it was a disaster from that point. But even that, I mean, that's what's cool, is getting to watch different teams, literally different helmets and uniforms, run out onto the field inside of Jordan-Hare, seeing different players, getting to see different head coaches. Like, those are things that are cool to me. Like, those are the weird things about being a diehard sports guy that does sports talk radio every day. Those are the things I really enjoy. And so, yeah, we're going to get to see Cal play in Jordan-Hare this year. We get to see Oklahoma play here this year. Like, that's really, really cool to me.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you, Jacob, seeing the different coaches, the different colors, the different fans. I remember I went to the 2013 season opener against Washington State. And rest in peace, Mike Leach. Mm-hmm. That was something that I thought was cool and different. Hey, yeah. Mike Leach is on the sideline for Washington State. I mean, and that's something that you don't really think about going into it, but you see that and you're like, you know what? If you pay attention to the little things and the details, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. And so that's why the home and homes are cool. I mean, you've got Auburn with, and I may have said this the other day, I mean, Auburn's got what, Miami on the schedule? I think they have Baylor on the schedule too.
Yeah, they're going to go to Waco next year, I think.
Is that when it starts? Okay.
I think that's right.
Yeah, they got the Baylor series, Miami. I mean, they've got all sorts of them, and that's what's cool. And back to the schedules for these two teams, for Auburn and Alabama, and I really don't know how we got on this, but we're going to lean into it anyway. Alabama's schedule, and you mentioned it, Alan, their month of November is brutal. Like, they start the month of November with a bye week, and they're going to need it, let me tell you, because they go at LSU, host Mercer, at Oklahoma, and then host Auburn. And, I mean, there's a good chance that Auburn and Alabama could be similar in record going into that Iron Bowl. Both teams could have a couple of losses but still have a lot of things to play for going into the Iron Bowl on November 30th. And Alabama fans would lose their flipping minds if Auburn went in there to Tuscaloosa the first year under a new head coach and they beat them inside of Bryant-Denny Stadium. That'd be something that Alabama fans would not be pleased to see.
They would definitely lose sleep over it, especially during that offseason. And that's another thing that I like with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. It's a new, as you've seen with the advertising for ESPN, the ABC taking over the SEC package, TV package, is that it's a new era. And what I love about this new era is that
I know where you're going.
They're showing the big dogs, all right, we've heard about Georgia playing a sometimes weaker SEC East. We've heard Alabama getting some better draws in their scheduling. We're going to put you guys to the test right away.
Yeah, and I like it. And what I'll also say on top of that with ESPN ABC taking over is, look, I know the tradition of the Iron Bowl being 2:30 on CBS for basically my entire life has been cool, but
it's all I've ever known.
Yeah, I mean, this opens up. I mean, Auburn has played, I'm trying to think, Auburn has not played at 2:30 like three or four times maybe in my lifetime.
I think the last one.
In the Iron Bowl.
2014, they played a night game in Tuscaloosa on ESPN. I think that was when Mississippi State and Ole Miss were rolling, and they covered the Egg Bowl.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And it was neat, but this opens that door once again. This opens up night game possibilities for the Iron Bowl. Are you kidding me? That'd be awesome. I mean, I don't really like the noon game. I think the Big Ten and Fox have really dominated that noon kickoff thing, you know, at 11 a.m. I think they've kind of dominated that, but this opens up the possibility of late afternoon night games for the Iron Bowl, and that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, and I know we got to get to break, but what was the last time Auburn had a home Iron Bowl at night?
Oh, goodness.
Would that have been off the top of the head, I mean, would it have been like 2007, 2003? I mean,
yeah, I couldn't even tell you. I mean, it's just been so long, and it just doesn't happen because CBS has just dominated that for so long on that 2:30 slot. So it's really interesting to see this and to kind of just look at how this is all going to play out. But I'll tell you this, man, that Alabama schedule this year is not going to be easy. And Auburn, on the flip side, has a lot more manageable schedule than we've seen in years past. I want to keep talking about this when we come back. Looks like we may have a phone call as well. We'll get to those. Phone lines continue to be open. 334-321-1390. We'll continue this conversation. Get to the phone lines after this here on ESPN Radio.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back to the phone lines we go here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, what's up, man?
Hey, sorry to double dip, but I have some information.
Yeah, bring it on.
At the end of that last segment. So the last home Auburn-Alabama game was 1997 in Auburn.
Under the lights?
Under the lights.
Okay. We were thinking 03, but I couldn't remember if that was it or if it was later than that.
03 was a day game.
Okay.
97, if you've never, like, pulled it up on YouTube, really interesting finish of that game. I don't know if that's – you're younger. I don't know if you would know.
I've seen it. I was not – I'll admit, I was not alive when that game happened. But I've gone back and watched a ton of Iron Bowl highlights over my years. So that was
– gotcha.
So that was the last time the Iron Bowl was in Auburn under the lights at night.
And I'll give you one that people forget. The comeback in 2010 was on a Friday.
Yes. Yes. It was – and
that's
it was
– one people forget.
And you know, there's been a couple of those in the history of this rivalry where there's been some weird instances where, yeah, there's been a few night games, there's been a couple Friday games. Like, it's always been, there's some of those weird instances in this rivalry that, yeah, sometimes people tend to forget.
And I think there's only two home Iron Bowls at night for Auburn. The other was 95, which
okay.
was a last-second Auburn win.
Hmm.
So both of them were very close games. 31-27 and 18-17 for Auburn. So anyway, just wanted to throw those at you. Sorry to double dip.
No, you're good, John. Always appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the information. You know, I hope this becomes something of a trend. I hope that this can become not an every year thing, because I think most of us would still like to see, because look, end of November in Alabama, it's most of the time, it's not hot, it's not cold, it's the 3 weeks of fall that we actually get in this state, and the temperature is perfect. Now, I've been in some miserably hot Iron Bowls, and I've been a part of some miserably cold Iron Bowls, but most of the time, it is sweatshirt, jeans, and just feeling great, right? It's just a perfect day, and that 2:30 kick is awesome. It gives you time to get up, get after the day. If you're a tailgater or watching earlier games or whatever, then our game happens and then it's over and you're either celebrating through the night or you're depressed and, you know, you do whatever it is you need to cope through the night. And then you get on with the weekend and you move on. But I like the mid-afternoon games for the most part, but this does open up with ESPN taking over. They're going to break these traditions. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. They're going to put it wherever they want to put it. It could be the awkward 4 o'clock start. It could be the 7 o'clock start. It could be the noon start. I mean, they're not really going to have a whole lot of sympathy for what the fans truly want, because it ain't about you, little old Auburn fan. It's about the country watching that game and what time are they going to tune in the most to earn the most money, right? That's how ESPN, and that's how they all work, and that's how they should. That's the business that they're in. But you have to remember that this is going to change a little bit for a lot of Auburn's game times and the channels they're going to be on television and on radio too. And you know, it's interesting, and we'll see kind of how that goes. And I know we got a few minutes before we get to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. And we were talking about Alabama's football schedule and now comparing it to what Auburn has this coming season. And I know that September is a little bit away, and Auburn football season technically starts in August because Auburn's kickoff day is August 31st, so that's exciting. You start with Alabama A&M, then you have Cal, you have New Mexico, you have Arkansas, and then you have Oklahoma. And in case you forgot, those are all at home. Five straight home games for Auburn football to start the season. It was a few years ago we did that again. It's a miserable experience. It's miserable for fans, for media, for locals. I mean, it's not fun, man. By that fifth game, you are war slap out. You're exhausted. You're begging for a road game. Because as much fun as going to a game is as a fan, or as much as I do enjoy going on Saturdays and covering the games from the press box, man, that's just a lot. And it's not five straight home games in the back end of October, November. It's in August and September in the state of Alabama. It is unbearably hot. And I sit in an air-conditioned press box now, and it's still not fun getting to the stadium and doing all the things it takes before and after. Like, it's just a lot, man. And, you know, it's just how the schedule falls. It is what it is. But Auburn has a five-game stretch to start the year where they should be no less than 4-1. I firmly believe that. They should be no less than 4-1 to start this season, because then they go on the road to Georgia, and that is what it is, and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But you start with Alabama, A&M, California, New Mexico. That has to be three wins right there. Then that Arkansas game is going to be interesting, but you should be better than that Arkansas team, especially what you did the last time those two teams got on the field. And then Oklahoma, I think, is a true wild card. And that's going to be fun. We were talking about atmospheres earlier, and when those new teams come to town, when the Alabamas of the world go to Wisconsin, and when the Oklahomas now come to Jordan-Hare Stadium, like, that's going to be awesome, man. And Auburn should have a really good chance. Looks like they're going to be wear orange game, so it's going to be an orange out at the stadium. So it's going to be a big day. And Auburn has a chance to be 5-0 before they go on the road to Georgia, before they go on the road to Missouri, before they go on the road to Kentucky with a bye game squeezed in the middle of Georgia-Missouri. I mean, you play your first month and a half at home, and then the month of October, you don't step foot inside your own stadium. We can't break that up a little bit somehow, SEC? We can't get a little bit of leniency on that? All right, that's fine. But you should be able to beat Missouri. You should be able to beat Kentucky. And then you've got Vanderbilt, ULM at home before A&M at home and on the road at Alabama. The schedule's doable, folks. The schedule's very doable for Auburn football this year. Compared to what Alabama could go through, I think both teams will have a couple of losses. But I think Auburn's losses may feel a little bit better, you hope, than what Alabama's will, because Auburn's still on the rise. Auburn's still grinding to get back to the top. Alabama's going to be riding their way down on the other side of the mountain, and they're not going to know what to think. But Auburn fans, if there are losses, they better be good ones, because Auburn fans won't let you hear the end of it if you don't. When we come back, Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, will join us. We'll talk about all the latest news around the Southeastern Conference. Jani Broome coming back for Auburn, Calipari being in Arkansas, Mark Pope being at Kentucky, and all the latest portal news for basketball and football. Chris Gordy joins us next.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. Appreciate you being along with us, whether you're just now tuning in, been with us all show long, in and out of the car, whatever the case may be. We appreciate you being with us on ESPN. As we do every Thursday, this guy's been with me for a long time, man. He has been a huge contributor to the show's success. It is Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, who is having his own success doing all sorts of crazy things. But the reason we bring him on here is because of Locked On SEC. And Chris, the show has been absolutely crushing it, and major storylines help that out. But man, your coverage of it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we're mostly talking, football, 365 SEC footballs. We know you can kind of survive doing that. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk SEC basketball when there's big storylines. And obviously the last 2 weeks with the coaching changes and Calipari going to Arkansas and the whole Kentucky coaching search. I mean, we had a ton of people interested in that. So we've been talking about that. But yeah, it's funny. I spent Saturday watching all seven, televised spring games. Now there were eight. Kentucky's was not televised, but watched all those. Took copious notes on every, had the multiple TVs going, and did a full breakdown on Monday. And it was like the show did okay numbers wise, but it was still nothing compared to the coaching search shows a week ago. So it's just kind of funny. You know, sometimes you put a lot of work and effort into something, and you don't see it. The numbers reflect it, but I'm glad I did it, though, because at least I came away with, you know, I think I found out a little something about every team that played the spring game over the weekend. Again, it's not going to be the biggest, like, you're not going to have huge revelations coming out of a spring game. I get it. But I did think there were some things to take away from the spring game.
Well, I mean, enlighten us then, man. You're the one that sat down. And I'm so sorry you had to do that. I mean, that all the spring games, man. Oh, you will not catch me doing that. It's hard enough for me to watch the Auburn spring game just because of what spring games have become. But, I mean, tell us what you found and what you saw and anything that the fans need to know from an SEC perspective on what happened around spring.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, to put it bluntly, I would rather watch an Arkansas Razorback spring game over a regular season hockey game. So let me just put it that way.
Chris,
you know, there's worse things you could be doing. I mean, you could be working in construction. So watching watching seven spring games that don't count, you know, is the least of my troubles.
Well, that's fair.
No, I mean, I thought my overall takeaways, and I'll just kind of jump around here. You know, I'll start with Kentucky because theirs wasn't televised. So I had to talk with a couple of people that were there. I watched some film of cuts from their thing. They had nine linemen out. So they made it clear they went 11 on 11, but they were no tackles. Everybody, it was a thud. Everybody had like the little protective, you know, things on their helmets. So, wasn't a whole lot to take away in the Kentucky game other than they do have a young freshman running back, and now his name slips my mind, but he looked really good, and he's supposed to be the guy that maybe can replace Ray Davis. Now, that said, Kentucky's been throwing their name around on some of these running backs that are in the portal right now, so we'll see if they end up landing one of them. But all accounts were Brock Vandergriff looks really good. You know, the question is, how good? Devin Leary, I thought, was going to be really good coming over from NC State, and he was just kind of average last year at Kentucky. So, you know, could Brock Vandergriff be better than that? He certainly has the upside. He was a highly touted recruit coming out of Georgia, but just kind of a fun storyline there, the former Georgia Bulldog backup, now the Kentucky Wildcats starter. Arkansas was a team that caught my eye. Talen Green looks really good, man. I'm not just saying that because we had him on Lockdown SEC a few weeks ago. He's a kid that's come in from Boise State, and he's earned that starting job. And he told me on our podcast, one of the big selling points was getting to run Bobby Petrino's offense. And he looked fantastic, man. I mean, you know, Arkansas didn't have great wide receivers. They have okay wide receivers, but he threw a couple of dimes, I think three touchdown passes he threw, his running ability. I mean, he fits the Petrino offense to a T. And now he's got Bobby Petrino in his ear. You know, that's one of the other underrated aspects of this offseason is that in the SEC and college football, you now have a coach in your ear if you're a quarterback. I mean, that's huge. So, Talen Green looked really good. And then their running back that came in through the transfer portal, Jaquindon Jackson, looks really good. And I tweeted this out, like, Arkansas fans a year ago this time were super excited that K.J. Jefferson was back at quarterback and Rocket Sanders was back at running back. But I got to tell you, I'd almost be more optimistic about this pairing of Talen Green and Jaquindon Jackson. I think they're going to be better statistically than what those guys did last year. Now, that's not saying a lot because K.J. Jefferson had a really down year and Rocket Sanders barely played because he was hurt all year. So, but I just like this pairing, and I do think, like, the Petrino offense is going to have success. Arkansas is going to win a game or two they're not supposed to. Now, you know, I think the Vegas over-under win total is like 4 or 5 wins. So, you know, maybe – I'm not saying they're going to go 10 wins, but I think like 7-5 might be doable. And if Sam Pittman goes 7-5, he's going to keep his job, and they're going to keep him. So, that was just one of the things that caught my eye with Arkansas. I think they're in a better spot now with the talent they have this year with Petrino running the offense because just – everything we heard last year was Dan Enos. It was an absolute debacle. But a few other notes. LSU, they offense didn't miss a beat. Garrett Nussmeier was 100% completion percentage in their sprint game on Saturday. It's funny because people were trying to spin the storyline of how does LSU replace Jaden Daniels. Well, they forget Garrett Nussmeier's been hanging around there, and he's played a lot of football, like in spot starts here and there. So, like, he's ready to go. And they got the weapons. You know, Kyron Lacy is stepping up. You know, they have they lose Brian Thomas Jr., Malik Nabers, but they still have Chris Hilton. They bring in this kid C.J. Daniels from Liberty. Like, they've got dudes everywhere. So I think the offense is going to be just fine at LSU. I still have major concerns about the defense. It's funny. They overhauled the whole coaching staff. They bring in Blake Baker, the D.C. from Missouri. They bring in Bo Davis, the D-line coach from Texas. I mean, they made some big additions to the coaching staff. The problem is, it's a lot of the same players. It's still Major Burns and Sage Ryan back there in the secondary. You know, they lose a lot of the guys on the D-line. So I still have major concerns about LSU. I would not be shocked. I know the portal just reopened, but I think they need to add at least one, if not two, interior defensive linemen. in this cycle. But to me, that's the big question for LSU is can this defense get better? Because, look, I'm not saying nothing against Nussmeier, but he shouldn't be going 7-for-7, 100% completion for, like, 300 yards in the spring game. There should be somebody getting a stop on him. So that was the takeaway there. Florida, Graham Mertz, I think, looked good. You know, he's going to be the starter. But, my God, DJ Lagway is just a physical freak. They have to find ways to get him on the field. Like, he's just got a big arm. He's athletic. He's a true freshman early enrollee. But I just think that kid needs to – they got to have packages for him. And it reminds me a little bit of, you know, when Florida had Chris Leak and then, you know, and had Tim Tebow came in, they found ways to get Tebow on the field. Now, I don't think DJ Lagway is as athletic a runner as Tim Tebow was.
You're saying he's the next Tim Tebow. It's what I just heard.
Yeah, I want to find Lagway ways to get on the field. And look, he was a five-star quarterback. I think, you know, a couple of services even moved him up to the number one quarterback in this past cycle. So, you know, it's the kid is highly touted for a reason. But, yeah, if I'm Billy Napier, the one thing that could save my job this year, if the schedule – we know the schedule's brutal, and we know they're not going to win a lot of games, but I could still sell them on look at the future, look at the excitement. That's how – Steve Sarkisian was able to save his butt at Texas. You know, he was able to say, oh, well, look, I've got Arch Manning coming in. And, you know, even underachieving those first 2 years, they stuck with him. And look at what Texas just did this past year. So we'll see what happens with Napier. Like I said, the schedule's brutal. But DJ Lagway, he brings them in. You got a big question mark in the offseason if you're Florida. If we fire Billy Napier, do we lose Lagway too to the portal?
Right.
Maybe it's worth keeping Napier to keep Lagway.
Yeah, well, there's so many updates for the football side of things as now the spring is over, portal is open. We were talking earlier, it hasn't been the dramatic experience that we all thought it was going to be. It's really been the basketball side of things, Chris, that has really sparked up so many things around the Southeastern Conference for guys leaving in the portal, guys committing in the portal, and some guys deciding to stay where they are. And the big news that we got here in Auburn yesterday was Jahni Broome coming back to the Plains for one more year. He'll be joining Dylan Cardwell, Denver Jones, Chaney Johnson, Chad Baker-Mazzara, plus the Tigers bring in J.P. Pegues from Furman. I mean, this is going to be a really good roster. What's your breakdown of what's happening here on the Plains for Bruce Pearl on the basketball side?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's awesome to get Broome back, and I think, you know, we saw his growth this year and took another step in his development, and now you give him another offseason to develop. You know, does he take that next step forward? I mean, we just saw Dalton Knecht win SEC Player of the Year. I think Jahni's got to be in that conversation next year to be, you know, to be that kind of player. So, yeah, look, I mean, you know, the big storyline, of course, was losing, you know, Aiden Holloway, but you got to like everything else you're bringing back. You got to like this recruiting class. And, yeah, I think there's reason to be excited for Auburn basketball next year, which – you know, still, I think you can focus on the positives, and the run the SEC tournament was outstanding. And, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited for next year.
Chris, what's up with all these guys leaving their current schools and visiting their arch rivals and some of them transferring to their arch rivals? I mean, Auburn fans are all up in arms about Aiden Holloway visiting Tuscaloosa today.
Yeah, and I get it, right? I mean, it sucks. I mean, that Iron Bowl rivalry runs deep in every sport now, but. You know, I'll say this, like, Alabama is a very good basketball program right now. Nate Oates just did something the program had never did, took them to a Final Four, and they're a really good school. It just so happens they happen to be Auburn's rival, but, like, I wouldn't look too much past, like, I don't think this is rivalry-driven. I think this is more Holloway, say, you know, Alabama saying we just lose Mark Sears. Like, you know, we're losing these pieces, like, he can come in and play and you know, maybe we have a plan for him right away. And if you're Holloway, I don't think your main mission here is to stick it to Bruce Pearl and Auburn because they didn't, you know, they didn't believe in me or develop me how I wanted to be. I think this is more just so he's looking at Alabama as a program on the rise and there's an opportunity there to go in and you know, have immediate playing time and be the guy. So, you know, we'll see if it happens. But I would say that, I mean, this is the same thing if he was picking Duke or North Carolina. It's just, you know, a big-time program that, you know, is having great success as of late. But, yeah, don't get me wrong. The rivalry will be a factor. It will, you know, when they play each other, I mean, the boos from Auburn fans when he touches the ball next year, if he does wind up at Alabama, I mean, it'll be raining boos on him. But, it'll make the rivalry a little bit more fun. But I don't think it's rivalry driven. I don't think it's him saying, let me go play for Auburn's rival. I think it's just, it happens to be Alabama's one of the best teams in the country, let alone the SEC, and he sees an opportunity there.
Yeah, he's visiting Tuscaloosa today. Auburn fans and really everybody trying to wait and see how that visit goes. Aiden Holloway visiting Tuscaloosa this afternoon. Other news around the SEC in basketball. I mean, obviously the big one has been Calipari going to Arkansas and Kentucky hiring Mark Pope. I don't think we've had a chance to talk, you and I, since Mark Pope was officially hired. Is that correct?
Yeah, because it happened. News came down, I think, on
Friday, right?
So, yeah. So I'll give you a little firsthand perspective because my wife is a Kentucky grad and she was all over this whole thing. I even brought it up to her when it sounded like names were turning it down, right? Like Nate Oates said no, Jay Wright said no, and then of course they were on the Baylor coach watch on him, and then he comes back and says, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. And so it feels like you're starting to strike out on all these big names. The UConn coach, Dan Hurley. But ultimately, I think I joked with her. I said, why don't you hire Mark Pope, part of the 96 championship team? She's like, no. She's like, we're Kentucky. We can do better than that. And then, there was this weird thing where the report comes out that, no, Mitch Barnhart is going to hire Mark Pope. And they're all going, every Kentucky fan just goes into a meltdown for about an hour on, oh my God, this is the worst thing. Mitch has got to go. I mean, the hashtag was trending on Twitter, ditch Mitch. I mean, it was going crazy. And then something happened. It was about a 12-hour rule. They had 12 hours to kind of poo-poo the hire. And then it kind of turned and went, well, if he's our guy, we're all in. And every Kentucky man bought in from that point. And my wife was even considering making the 15-hour drive up to Lexington overnight Saturday to be there Sunday for the press conference. I mean, that's how big this thing was. I will say, I mean, like, we talked to her friends that were up there, and they said they waited for 4 hours in line to get in the Rupp Arena. Luckily, they got in, but there was about 5,000 people, they said, that got turned away. I mean, this thing was insane. And for hours, people were sitting in those parking garages trying to get out of there for a freaking press conference. So the one thing I like about Pope, and yes, it's not sexy, it's not the big name, that everybody wanted, but I will say this, this is his dream job. Nobody's going to work harder to get Kentucky basketball back to where they need to be than Mark Pope. And that gives you a little excitement, right? Because Calipari kind of became, this is how I do things, this is my way or the highway, if you don't like it, get out of here, and it was like, okay, that's fine when it works. But when it stops working, you got to evolve. You got to change. And at least Mark Pope understands he's been there. He's won a title at Kentucky. He understands that culture. He understands the environment. So he knows what it's going to take to win. Now, again, he doesn't have many skins on the wall. He doesn't have a tournament win. He's been to the tournament, and they were upset this year. They were a higher seed that lost in the first round at BYU. But I do know at BYU he was hampered by some restrictions. Like, those kids have to sign like a contract that they're not going to drink alcohol or premarital sex and all this kind of stuff. I'm not saying anything wrong with that, but, it's a different kid at Kentucky. It's a different breed of athlete you're going to have access to. So, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think it's just kind of it speaks volumes that the Kentucky fan base rallied so quickly around him, and, they're going to give him every resource he needs. I mean, there's already been reports that they'll write the checks for the NIL and all this. The bottom line was Cal pissed off the boosters. A lot of the boosters didn't want to write checks anymore for Calipari because they just didn't like him anymore. So at least those people are coming back around. They're willing to write those checks for Mark Pope, and we'll see. And look, somebody brought this up too. Dan Hurley, look at his resume before he got to UConn.
Right.
He wasn't any great chicks. So, and it's kind of the same thing with Nate Oates. I know he won a tournament game or two at Buffalo, but it's not like Nate Oates was his proven guy. So, look, you can go the Bruce Pearl route sometimes and get the guy who's been there, done that, coached many years in the SEC. But sometimes you take a chance, catch a rising star, and Mark Pope might be that Kentucky.
It's a new era in Lexington. We'll see how it goes with Mark Pope in Kentucky, John Calipari in Fayetteville, all sorts of things going on around the SEC. Chris Gordy joins us every week. He hosts the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily podcast on everything Southeastern Conference. Chris, tell the folks where they can find it, because as I mentioned when we started, man, you're doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you find your podcast. We've been all over the transfer portal here the last couple of days and talking about some of the names that have entered. Obviously, no huge names as of yet. Probably the biggest name was Caden Proctor going from Iowa back to Alabama. It's a big get for Bama. But outside of that, you know, that Utah State quarterback is in there. I'm just looking at some guys that maybe Auburn could sniff around here. So we're talking all about it on Locked On SEC.
Awesome. Chris, always enjoy the time, man. Appreciate you as well. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
Yep. That's Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Go check it out. Audio, video on YouTube, wherever you want to take it in. He does a wonderful job with Locked On SEC. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up quickly after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a fantastic show. If you've missed any of it, you can go and listen to the podcast. You can find it at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcasts, whichever audio platform that you prefer. We talked to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network back in hour number one. Him and Andy Burcham were on the way to Starkville. They are calling the baseball games this weekend for Auburn baseball as they are taking on Mississippi State. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series, and you can catch all of those radio broadcasts over on our sister station, Wings 94.3. So be sure you do that. So we talked to Brad Law about that. We talked to him about basketball, some of the big news around Auburn athletics as well. We also just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, about the latest in Southeastern Conference news with a guy that apparently watched all the spring games on recording, which sounds pretty terrible to me, but that's why he is the best in the SEC coverage. And Chris Gordy does a wonderful job. So recapped a bunch of that. Also talked about Jani Broome coming back for Auburn and his thoughts on what the Tigers could be next season. So those were our two guests today. We've had a lot of fun and good conversations about Jani Broome coming back, what this team could do, what the expectations should be for Auburn and Bruce Pearl next season. Also talked a little bit of Auburn-Alabama, talked a little rivalry today. So that was a lot of fun as well. So if you missed any of that, you can go and listen to the podcast later on today. Tomorrow is a wide open show. It is a free-for-all Friday edition of the show. No Uncle T-Bone. It'll be me and intern Alan in here again tomorrow. So we'll come up with some fun things to do and talk about on the show. And look, you just never know what's going to happen between now and tomorrow. I mean, with the transfer portal open for basketball and for football, I mean, that's the dominating topic right now for all sports in college is those two. So we'll have that tomorrow. We'll have everything else. Some fun conversations. And, of course, your phone calls on a free-for-all Friday. So that'll be on the show tomorrow. Thank you so much for being here. Whether you've been here all show long, whether you're just now tuning in or been in and out, I appreciate you. It's a lot of fun being in here. And we'll do it again tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.